Hi, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm joined by Maria Shevchuk. She is the CEO of the IT Ukraine Association. Maria is obviously sitting in Ukraine, representing that big and growing industry over there. There are over 350,000 Ukrainians working in the IT industry at present, and the vast, vast majority of it is all for export or outsourcing or offshore consumption. The industry has really been growing over the last 12 years, but you know, I don't know if you have heard about Ukrainian IT developers, but they're really developing a really great reputation and a lot of people are talking about them. So it's great to have Maria on the show and really explore and understand the Ukraine IT industry and what it offers. And of course, you know, the elephant in the room, of course, is the Ukraine war with Russia. They've gone through incredible turmoil over the last couple of years. So it's really interesting to hear about this from Maria's point of view. And spoiler alert, they're actually, the industry is doing incredibly well. They're incredibly resilient despite the tumultuous situation that they're going through. So it's a really interesting conversation with Maria. As always, if you're on any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. Enjoy. This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from offshore business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you are already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your offshore operations. The Outsource Accelerator Marketplace now covers over 3,000 outsourcing firms, representing a global workforce of over 5 million people. We also host this leading outsourcing podcast, publish Inside Outsourcing, and have over 15,000 pages of content on the site. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Also, if you find this podcast interesting or valuable, please share it. We have now produced hundreds of episodes featuring the outsourcing world's most prominent luminaries. Please show your support by sharing this podcast today. So it's great to have you on the show. Maybe first of all, you know, give us context about what IT Ukraine is.
Of course, yes. My name is Maria. I'm the CEO of IT Ukraine Association. So we are a non-government organization that are currently representing the interest of more than 160 service and product IT companies in Ukraine and unite more than 90,000 professionals locally and internationally. Of course, we represent a lot of outsourcing companies because it's a regular type of companies for Ukraine. So our main mission is to promote the growth and development of the Ukrainian IT sector in Ukraine during this challenging time. And among other, our key goals of the association is protecting the interest of the IT industry in Ukraine and providing help in development of technology education, human capital, promoting the industry in Ukraine and, of course, abroad. Also help with establishing direct business contacts with the new clients and partners abroad. So we are like a membership organization, like probably the biggest national association in Ukraine right now. So this is like our main goal and idea of the organization.
Well done. You must be busy with that. And, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning, like everyone, the Eastern Europe is certainly getting such an incredible reputation for developers and having really high quality developers, a little bit sort of on the more expensive side, but really high quality. And so it's really exciting to have you on the show. Before we get into it, of course, you know, there is the elephant in the room with the Ukraine war. And of course, that has, you know, no doubt created untold disruption for you, for the country, and of course the industry and things like that. How is all of that going? I mean, it's hard to summarize that in a few sentences or paragraphs, but, you know, have you returned back to any kind of business as usual, or how is the industry sort of reacting as a result of this?
Yeah, thank you for this. To be honest, right now we are like a second industry in Ukraine, and we have up to 5% of Ukraine's GDP. A share of computer service expert in the service expert of Ukraine has increased by 25.3 percent points for the last 10 years. So we are like one of the key industry for Ukrainian economy right now. Of course, the full-scale invasion has some challenges, brings some challenges for Ukraine and for Ukrainian economy, and especially for it. Beside that, in 2022, we were only one expert industry in Ukraine that show growth, and we bring $7.3 billion revenue for the Ukraine, and we also have some 6% growth compared to the previous pre-war year. 2020, firstly, for the decade, where the Ukrainian IT industry unfortunately didn't show growth. This is what the first time over the 12 years, but still we have 6.7 billion dollar revenue. We can compare it to the 2021 pre-war invasion year.
But
to be honest, it's not only because of war in Ukraine. It's actually the situation that are globally with the tech industry. So it's not only the results of the full-scale invasion, for everyone to understand. But still, Ukraine has emerged like a powerhouse in the IT industry, and we have over 350,000 skilled IT professionals right now in Ukraine, and we have this like rapidly growing number of outsourcing companies. And we have, like, to be honest, I remember that one of the research that we have before the full-scale invasion, we have the predictions that indicating that the number of outsourcing companies will double by the 2025. Right now, we will definitely can't see this rapid growth, but still we hope that we will see this growth probably in 1 year.
That's incredible. And of course, you know, my heart goes out to you, and of course the whole country. It's I just couldn't imagine, you know, a similar situation. So, but congratulations to of course the industry and the resilience of the industry. It's incredible, and obviously it's much needed economic activity and money into Ukraine during this time. So it's obviously a shining light within, you know, much distress for the country. You're saying that it's such a strong part of the Ukrainian economy now. How has Ukraine built its IT developer segment? Like, you know, has it been a popular subject in universities? Why has it become such a dominant part of your economy over the last kind of 10 years?
Thank you. So I also would like to step back to the previous question also, and I will answer it just so that I would like to tell more for your listeners and actually for your followers that one of the challenges for us, of course, were the blackouts that we had in 2022. And what we saw there, that all our tech companies in Ukraine, they are actually really, they had really good BCP plans. So I will definitely would like to recommend you to have it for all tech companies all over the world. Because right now we have no problems with the electricity, and every IT company has like generators, Starlinks, and any kind of the alternative energy for their like a company and for the workers and for the developers.
Yeah. And do you think that, you know, in terms of resilience of the industry, a lot of the rest of the world takes these things for granted, such as, you know, consistent electricity and internet connection. But other than that, it's a fairly resilient industry in that people can pretty much work from their laptops from anywhere. You know, you don't need factories. You don't need a congregation of people. Do you think that is why, you know, as long as the country can keep the electricity and internet connection, then it's a very durable, resilient industry, isn't it? And, you know, just incredible to think that you can double in size, you know, when you are in wartime conditions. That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Also, our companies, of course, relocate their personnel to the more safety region like Lviv or the west part of Ukraine. The second one, of course, thanks to the COVID time, we are right now okay with the remote working, and that's okay for us dealing online and remotely for the whole country, actually, not only for the tech industry. So thanks to the COVID, we actually were ready somehow to this situation.
Yeah, absolutely, that's true.
Yeah, regarding
in terms of the sheer volume of people you need that are capable and qualified in these professions, like, has your, you know, university education system just been very strong in this for the last couple of decades? Has it always been a focus of the country?
Yes, that's true. We are really strong in the tech education. We have like public universities in Europe, and also we have our companies, the biggest tech companies also have their like schools and different courses and so on and so forth. Also, we have not only public but private companies in Ukraine. And recently last week, we launched one of our biggest research. It's called Digital Tiger. And we have all this information regarding the number of graduated students, the biggest schools and IT universities. So if you are looking such as detailed information, you can just download the IT Ukraine Digital Tiger Research, the power of Ukrainian IT, we call it, and find some more interesting and relevant information regarding it. But still, we have a really strong technical education in Ukraine. And really proud of all our universities that they are also resilient and show their adaptivity right now during the war.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And just to sort of reiterate that report, from what I understand, you've produced an industry, you know, nationwide report on the Ukraine IT industry, and it provides all of the numbers on graduates and the different sort of salary ranges and the different people within the industry. So really valuable report. And we will also a link to that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, so also you can find some information regarding the number of tech companies in Ukraine, the number of people, the salaries, also there's like the, what else, we have some information regarding cases in Ukraine, so you can find the geography of Ukrainian IT expert, some relevant information for the clients also. And also we add some new slides regarding the myths about Ukraine, some common information that you are like facing if you are a first time working with the Ukrainian teams. And you have probably heard some myths regarding Ukraine, regarding corruption and so on and so forth. And of course, the security. So we also add some information how right now Ukraine dealing with the security measures and add some tips regarding all these myths and also mitigation plan. It also, and different mitigation strategies. It also will be useful for their companies and for their BCP plans, because we add some information regarding mitigation strategy of the Ukrainian IT company.
Well done. Yeah, it's certainly a valuable report. Can you give us any sneak peeks, any glimpses into the report? Like, you know, how many graduates are you producing every year? And can you give us a sense of the pay scales for the industry, although it's likely to be very diverse?
Yeah, the main numbers from this report also. So let's start from the number of companies. We have a really unique structure in Ukraine, because a lot of tech companies in Ukraine, tech brands, have a few legal entities in Ukraine. So we shown there that we have more than 2,000 tech companies, tech brands, and more than 8,000 legal entities because of the some specified structure of the Ukraine legal entities. So as I mentioned before, the one company can have like from 2 to 18 legal entities. For example, for the different startup or for the different direction or for the different technology or some
just different activities within the business.
Yes. So, if you would like to see the official statistic, you will see that we have more than 8,000 companies in Ukraine, but still we have a really active and regarding the number of tech people, we have more than 350,000 IT professionals in Ukraine that working in their tech company. Regarding the universities, we really have a lot of universities in Ukraine. We highlighted only top five of them and the statistic of regarding this top five. And also we shown the top 10 private companies, tech companies in Ukraine, and the number of exact number of graduated people from each of these private schools in Ukraine. So you can see that like the different number of the graduated people. What else? Also, we are really proud of our governmental digitalization of Ukraine. So because we are like state 2019, our president Zelensky launched that one of his goal is that to have a state in smartphone and digitalize 100% of all the public services for the citizen. And right now in 2019 it was launched by Ministry of Digital Transformation, like a brand new ministry. It was like a brand new ministry for Ukraine. They also launched like a Dia app. I don't know if you heard about the Dia app. It's like a super app for Ukraine. Right now, it has more than 20 million users, and this like only this app. And we have more than 14 digital documents there, from starting from the passport, driver lessons. And last week, they launched also educational documents and your diploma and and also and all kind of different documents.
So it's really, it's super impressive for any country to become that sort of digitally enabled. Just to give people context, Ukraine has just over 40 million population. So, you have about 50% of the population on the app, which is, super impressive. And again, just to be able to do these kind of activities when you are in a wartime as well and keep developing these things and building efficiencies within the system, it's certainly, very, very admirable, progress. So,
and actually, they don't stop at all. And they try to add new documents and new services. Right now, every 2 weeks, because right now we have a portal, Dia portal and Dia app. In Dia app, we have over 30 governmental services. So you can online download some, some information that you need or to request some special document from the public service. Or find out the relevant information and a verified information for you or for your kid or something like that. Also, last Monday, they add new super new service. So you can sell your car via Dia app. So you don't need to go through some special service. You can sell it online via online. And also, probably the most popular services right now in Dia app, they are military bond. It's specific on the wartime. Also, a replacement of the driver's license, construction services, electronic birth. It's service for the birth of child. Also, marriage.
So everything, the whole. Yeah, it's amazing.
You can apply for a marriage and do like a marriage registration also via Dia application. Yeah. Car sharing.
Impressive.
Yes, you can open you can become an individual entrepreneur via online. So it's automatic registration. And you can do some challenges in the also regarding your individual entrepreneur. So that's really cool. And
it is amazing. We adore. So what I want to talk about is the kind of outsourcing industry. The national app is very impressive, and it certainly shows a lot of capability for the industry. In terms of the outsourcing industry for the Ukrainian workforce, what have you seen the trajectory of that? I would imagine it wasn't that big 10 years ago, and did it hit a sort of tipping point where there became where everyone suddenly realized they could hire Ukrainians, and then it became a bit explosive? Did you see kind of a hockey stick progression of, I imagine in the early stages, it was really just domestic demand for Ukrainian IT workers, and then kind of all of a sudden it hockey sticked and you got a lot of external overseas demand and also then followed the outsourcing firms and things like that. Was that the sort of progression? Like, when did Ukraine really start to see the growth from offshore interest in their IT people?
Thank you for this question. Yeah, to be honest, we see this like a rapid growth during the last 12 years. To be honest, we do not have a local market at all. Just to compare with the, we are almost 100% export industry. So the only like what we have like from the local market, our outsourcing company actually where they are, for example, the DIF is also were done and were developed by the different Ukrainian tech companies. So the, our outsources also helped the DIF to be like this right now. And the second type of the needs regarding the Ukrainian from the local market, also cybersecurity. I can tell more regarding the cybersecurity later. Returning back to the what exactly makes Ukraine such an attractive destination for the IT outsourcing. Of course, we have really a lot of talents in Ukraine and like a pool of talents and a lot of young professionals and kids who like to be like a part of the IT because we have a higher salaries in here compared to the different sectors and in Ukraine. Then what else? Our developers actually are really good in a super, in the large scale projects with the, some kind of, I don't know, like cutting edge technologies. They are okay with this, like a super hard projects and super scale projects. So this is like a part of the unique expertise in Ukraine. Or also beside that, we have like I said before, we have a really good technical education in a lot of public university and a private university, and the biggest tech companies in Ukraine also have their own schools and so on and so forth. So this is like a unique expertise. We have a lot of people who would like and a lot of talent. So we have a good education, and of course we have no local market. So we would like to find our clients abroad. So this is like a formula for the old. I guess it's not only for Ukraine. It's for the all type of the outsourcing countries. For example,
with COVID and the move to remote work, you have seen an increase in people just working directly for other companies, you know, so you can have Ukrainians sitting in Ukraine and they could be working for American companies or UK companies. And it's not through any intermediary or outsourcing firm. It's just direct, maybe even, you know, using Upwork or platforms like that for the initial engagement. Have you seen that sort of increase as well? And what proportion of the market now is just Ukrainians really getting remote jobs direct for the employers?
To be honest, we don't have such a statistics, but still with most of the companies and most of the developers are working via the companies because they also provide some social guarantees. So they can also do some additional needs. And it also right now in the wartime, when the companies, the relocation for their staff, helping with the Starlinks and generators and so on and so forth. So it's easier for you to be like a part of the company instead of to do it by your own. And this is like some kind of guarantee for you to have this job and to not find this directly client. What else? Right now we see some kind of lack of the clients because last year it's not only for Ukraine, it's also regarding the global, the situation in global with that AI and this situation with the Meta and other companies. So we all see this result of, but still, I guess next year or in a year, we will see demand.
Right. So you're saying that there has been a bit of a downturn with the economy changing a little bit, with things slowing down. You've seen reduced.
Yeah, I guess it's also probably the question for you. Do you see this the situation with all these global clients and so on and so forth? So all these things. So it's Meta and so on. It's also influence on first of all, it's influence on outsourcing companies.
There was a lot of uncertainty and a lot of economic uncertainty. So a lot of companies reduced hiring or put on hold. And then also, you know, there was a big push for companies to get profitable instead of just growing revenues. So I think that there was a lot of caution in the market. And you certainly, that reflected within the outsourcing market as well. But I think now it's starting to, we're seeing a lot more interest again now in 2024. So I think things will pick up again. Yeah,
we also wait for this time. Right now, we see like the situation is changing, and we really hope that we will see like a growth this year. But still, what else that we see right now? It's also some interest regarding the probably key industries for Ukraine. For example, the key expertise for Ukraine. For example, the cybersecurity. So because of the war, of course, we do understand that Ukraine faced probably more than 2,000 cyber attacks on the Ukraine infrastructure, and no one of them were actually successful. We know exactly who done this, so I think you also knew that. And still, we see that now our cyber professionals aim to be like ready for the every cyber threats before they happen. And the only like a big cyber attacks that were really effective, that was telecom provider Kyivstar. And right now we all knew what actually happened and what information and what results can be useful for our cybersecurity experts and also for the different companies. And right now they are also share some insights regarding this attack that can be useful for the different countries also. And right now we see the super interest from the different countries regarding the cybersecurity expertise, because we have like ongoing learning by doing every day, every time. So this is like a part of the unique expertise in Ukraine that probably we would like not to be as much ready as right now we are in the cybersecurity trend, but still.
You're certainly in the thick of things there, aren't you? It's cybersecurity is such a difficult thing, though, isn't it? Because it's not necessarily the most advanced technology that is creating these opportunities. It's someone giving away their password or not having a strong enough password or submitting their information in a phishing attack. And then as soon as someone can get into the system, then there's not much you can do about these ransomware attacks and things like that. But certainly in the US, you know, I'm not sure if you follow the news in the US, but there are multiple, you know, Ukraine has done well because there are so many companies in the US every month now that are succumbing to these ransomware attacks that are just sort of eating away at the fabric of the US. It's becoming a huge issue that, yeah, it's really difficult to stomp out.
Yeah, so yeah, you can actually ask Ukrainian, because we have a lot of also outsourcing companies with the cyber track. And we have like right now we have a unique expertise, probably in, I don't know any other country, probably maybe Israel had the same situation, but still with 2,000 cyber attacks, it's too much for every country. So that's if you have any special requirements or needs regarding the cybersecurity, you will definitely find this expertise in Ukraine right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, unfortunately, I think the US is maybe the biggest potential victim of these cyber attacks, just because it has so much money. And if you can hack into these systems, you can do so much damage. And then people are just willing to pay the ransom. You know, it's a growing problem, and I'm not sure how that is solved. But I suppose it is certainly an opportunity for industry, isn't it? There's a silver lining to that cloud. What about AI? You mentioned that earlier, and you know, everyone is talking about AI now, and every business has AI, you know, in their benefits and in the label and things like that. But it, with the IT industry, it's very difficult, isn't it, to stay up to date with all of the latest skills and developments. And to, you know, you have 350,000 workers in the industry, but to get them in moving along with the latest trends and languages and stuff like that, it's difficult. Yeah. So what have you seen in terms of AI, and how do you see your industry evolving to sort of keep up with these trends?
Yeah, of course, we can't stand out of this trend also. And I would like also to highlight the role of our Minister of Digital Transformation, because they also right now have dealing with some issues regarding the AI in Ukraine. And we are working a lot with the British colleagues and British experts, because they also implementing the AI regulatory in Britain. And also we are in contact with our European colleague. They launched the AI Act, and we are a member of the Digital Europe. So we are in contact with all these regulatory issues and so on and so forth regarding the companies and so on and so forth. And the actually implementing of the AI technology. Of course, and probably not all of 3,100 IT professional in Ukraine need to know the AI and need to implement AI right now. But still we have a really active companies. And last week we have together with our British partners regarding the implementing AI technologies in the different sectors in Ukraine, and not only in Ukraine, but in the agri-tech, in the health tech, and actually general, the influence on AI in the different sectors of the economy. So that's okay for us. Thank you online. We can do it without crossing the border. You can. There are a lot of information, and we are really I would like to thank a lot of our partners from the US and the UK and the different also countries that share this latest insights and so on and so forth. So we are probably, and that's okay for us to be super experts in technology, but we also need to know what's going on the governmental level, because we need to be ready, because this is a business, and we need to know how our business and what condition can be for the AI and for the development of the AI and for the regulatory conditions for the developing of the AI and the using of AI. And also, I would like to step back regarding the cybersecurity. We have also actually 2 weeks ago, we also have a discussion with our partners regarding, for example, the using AI in the deepfake technology. And we have, because we are dealing with this every day. And this is also super, it's not only a regular cybersecurity attacks and so on, but right now they are using this for the politician issues or for the governmental level on different level, because we saw super, super accurate deepfake on our president. And right now we have a special expertise and also deepfake using the AI technology. So also learning by doing.
I mean, it's these things are just it's so difficult to manage, isn't it? Because there's just new things evolving and new threats evolving the whole time. And it's with the US election as well, they're already fearing a lot of, interaction with deepfakes trying to interrupt the proceedings with the election. So it's getting complicated, isn't it? And with a lot of developers and stuff, it is amazing that information travels so quickly now. And, before 50 years ago, Ukraine would have been geographically isolated in terms of the transmission of information, ideas, concepts, and communities. Whereas now you are completely connected, aren't you? You're completely connected to London. You're completely connected to Silicon Valley, and your youth and the industry can all just sort of learn off each other. And of course, there's a lot of open source software and development, so people can leapfrog and become so powerful so quickly, can't they? It's really incredible now, isn't it, that the generation that we're now in, there's really no boundaries between sitting in Ukraine versus London versus San Francisco.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just incredible. There was no question there, but it is just incredible, in that AI is now being developed at the same time in Ukraine, and there's not this delay for things to transfer. One last question, I suppose. What do you see in terms of startup scene? Inevitably, it seems like developers and coders, they want to build their own things and get into the startup ecosystem. Is that kind of a thriving little ecosystem in Ukraine as well?
Yeah, of course. Actually, it's a question how to compare with the, for example, the United States. We don't have such a number of the startups, even per capita or something like that. So, but because like this is actually have like probably 15 years at all, like industry. So we are quite new industry in Ukraine. But still, we have a lot of support from the different donors and different countries, like a technical assistance. And you probably heard that a lot of European Commission grants and so on and so forth. Right now, our startups can apply for these grants and so on and so forth. So it's really useful for the ecosystem and for the growth of the number of startups in Ukraine. Because we have a lot of talented IT professionals. They right now they're really hungry for some work and some clients. And what I need to say that we have no other choice. That because of work, we need to work. We need to find like clients. We need to have like expert revenue in Ukraine. We need to pay taxes because we in the active phase of war. And we need to fight, and the taxes and the like IT company, they are also, we need it like a country. And so we have no other choice, like work every day, every night, even more proactive than any other country. So we really fight for each client. We really fight for each contract because we need it like a country. It's not only about the business or about the money. It's regarding the survival of the country. So for us, it's super important to have this like direct connections. And of course, the startups and the new company, it's one of the way to find this new clients, to find this expert revenue and to give some useful technology, but also the technology for the countries. Because right now we also using all our expertise in the fighting and the military industry and defense industry. So.
So that's maybe a poignant place to leave it. It's not just the fighters on the front line fighting this. It's everyone in the entire country, aren't they? You're all fighting your own battle, you know, and it's crazy to imagine.
Yeah, so we are super motivated. Ukrainian tech companies. Actually, Ukrainian, we are super motivating to work hard, to work better than anyone else. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. It's really incredible to touch base and incredible to see the resilience, but the progress that the industry is making in these hard times. So thank you so much. Again, that's the IT Ukraine Association, and I encourage everyone to get the report. Maria, where can people find you if they want to learn more or get in touch?
On our website at tukraine.org.ua, or we can also share the link with you, and you can also download it directly probably while you're using your podcast.
Absolutely. So that is, the website is itukraine.org.ua, and also the report's on there, but we'll also put the link in the show notes as well. So Maria, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Maria Shevchuk of IT Ukraine Association. As always, if you're on any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/podcast. And as always, if you want to reach out to us, if you want to get in touch, send us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.